Welcome to the Nui Tech People podcast. My name is James McDonald. I spend my days interviewing some of the most innovative people working in the tech industry and hear some amazing stories. Each fortnight, we release a new episode sharing these conversations. This podcast aims to showcase the tech projects happening right here in Newcastle, provide key resources to help you grow your tech career, and share insights into the future of the Newcastle tech scene. Hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to another episode of the Nui Tech People podcast. On today's episode, we have Martin Carr from Applied Virtual Simulations. We've actually had Martin on before, but he's back with some really exciting news, both for ABS and Newcastle technology community. Hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to another episode of the Nui Tech People podcast. On today's episode, we have another returning guest, Martin Carr, founder and director of Applied Virtual Simulation. Welcome, Martin.
That's right. Thanks for having me.
For those that don't know who you are or haven't caught episode 27 of our podcast, I can give the audience a bit of an overview of who you are and then lead into who Applied Virtual Simulation is.
I'm a Newcastle-based founder and director of Applied Virtual Simulation. We're a small defense contractor based in Broadmeadow. We employ about 22, 23 people. And we've got offices here in Newcastle, Canberra, and then we've got a field service team around the country. We're a defense contractor. We build simulators for the military.
Yeah. And for those who haven't caught, you know, a little bit of who you are, we had some videos I remember last time we shot. Can you describe the products that you build for the people? Because when I first came across them, I found it super interesting.
Yeah. So we build simulation-based training systems primarily for the Australian Army. And basically, we fill gaps in Army's training system requirements, whatever they may be. So our most popular training system is called the Protected Mobility Tactical Trainer. In a nutshell, it's a vehicle simulator. So it's designed for taking groups of soldiers, 15 or so, and teaching them how to operate their protected mobility vehicles, which are wheeled logistics vehicles, in a variety of different operational scenarios and conditions within the simulation.
Yeah. It's pretty phenomenal. One of the points of our podcast is really to shine a light on what's going on in Newcastle, and that's the reason we're back here today. Some pretty exciting news for your company. Would you like to announce that for those that might not have heard about it already?
Yeah, so the government has just announced the selection of AVS as the prime contractor for a contract called Land Simulation Core Tranche 1. It's the largest project that AVS has ever been awarded, and it will see us delivering Army's future simulation environment.
That's phenomenal. How long does this contract go for? Are we able to talk any specifics around what sort of deal we've landed?
It's a 3-year contract with additional options that can be executed by the Commonwealth. Look, we've been working on this since 2019, and the antecedent programs that led to Land Simulation Corps go back for the best part of a decade. So yeah, it's a large project, but they are long undertakings. We've now gotten to the point the contract is signed and the work is underway and all going well. It will go through an initial acquisition phase and then transition into sustainment. To give you some context, the previous contracts that are similar to this have maybe a 10 to 15 year life of type.
Yeah, fantastic. Mate, for a company that's born and bred in Newcastle to be awarded a contract on a national scale at this sort of levels, how did a company born and bred out of Newcastle get to that point? You mentioned this is not an overnight success. It's something that's been built on. Can you give any more context on, you know, that journey to date to get to this success?
Yeah, sure. So most people know of AVS, people that are in industry, know us for our simulation-based training system. So I just mentioned the PMTT there. We've just delivered our fifth system. We also do a number of other simulation-based training systems. So over the past 5.5 years since AVS's inception, we've delivered a number of simulation-based training systems. And then from there, we understood Army's requirement to deliver a common simulation environment. So, you know, looking at what we'd done on the simulator side, we identified that we would be a good fit to deliver the simulation solution. And that really involved AVS transitioning from a simulator company to a simulation company, if that makes sense. So we had to basically go and find the best of breed technology from all around the world that would meet Army's requirements, which were quite comprehensive. I can't discuss particulars about the contract, but we're talking, you know, hundreds of functional performance specification requirements that had to be met. So we really surveyed the world for the best of breed technology, and coincidentally, we found some of it literally just down the road here in Newcastle through one of our partner companies, Simcentric Technologies. They're actually Newcastle-based. Their Australian office is just down the road from us. So, yeah, we took the sort of best of breed technologies, and we used our expertise that we'd gained over, you know, the last half decade understanding Army's training requirements, and we put together a solution and presented it to the Commonwealth, and, yeah, it was accepted.
That's fantastic. You made mention just there. You're playing on a, you know, with international partners here. I imagine you don't win a contract like this just all alone. You mentioned you're working with other companies. How's that experience been?
Yeah, I mean, the selection of our partners, I think, was really instrumental in our success. We surveyed the world for the best of breed technologies. And then, of course, we actually had to go out into the world and secure those partnerships. And over the past sort of 3 or so years, we've developed some partnerships with some leading companies, some down the street, some as far away as the US and Europe, and some in the middle. We've got another supplier down in Melbourne. We brought all those companies together, and we think we've formed quite an effective team and quite effective partnerships with all of those suppliers.
Yeah, it seems like collaboration seems to be at the core of what you do in bringing different parts together to provide one overall solution.
Yeah, that's right, and that speaks to the broader intent of the Land Simulation Corp project specifically. What the project will seek to do is provide a common baseline of simulation software that will be used not only with our project, but in all future Army simulators. So this is not simply a matter of us delivering the solution to the Army. The Army will be providing this capability to a whole bunch of other vendors around Australia. So from small simulation providers like AVS through to the major primes working on some of the largest land projects. So we really had to focus on not only our relationships with our suppliers, but also present to the Commonwealth a compelling case that we can work with from the very largest defence primes in Australia and down to small companies to ensure that they are successful in their projects.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. And again, I just want to touch on one thing, because these projects are phenomenally exciting. When I first came across them, I'm like, you're talking about people who used to have to go training in person. I imagine, especially during COVID, the last couple of years would have been even more difficult with the pandemic and everything else. But you're taking what used to be an industry with face-to-face training and everything and providing this on scale that people can do virtually.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, you mentioned COVID, and that was its own particular set of challenges. Like, obviously, the challenges with the global supply chain, you know, made it difficult for us in terms of our day-to-day building simulators. Our customers, again, had a lot, the Army does a lot of residential training, you know, where they fly in soldiers from all around the country to training establishments. And obviously, that was you know, Army's ability to come together to train was substantially disrupted by COVID. And yeah, the concept of doing large scale training activities was also compromised by COVID. You know, to your point about Army coming together and doing live training, that is one of the fundamental cornerstones of training. And what in our experience, what the simulation technology allows soldiers to do is train in an accessible environment, you know, where they can go and they can train on the simulator. They can do rapid repetitions much quicker than they can do in a live training environment. So it really primes them for those activities where they do come together and train in the live field training area, because there are scant opportunities to do live training, and the simulation enables them to reach a higher level of readiness before they go out and do their live training.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. It's obviously using technology and it's changing every industry, but it sounds like it's really having an impact from a defense perspective.
Yeah, definitely. One of the concepts that Army has articulated in some of its strategy documents is that the live training areas that Army owns, which are sort of, you know, enviable on the global stage. I mean, the huge training areas that we have, you know, our allied nations like Singapore look to us, you know, with envy about these massive training areas that we have. However, these training areas are not representative of some of the operational environments that we expect to fight. You know, for example, fighting in urban areas, in large urban cities, you know, that you can't build a big city out in the middle of Shoalwater Bay, you know, and furnish it with 10,000 residents, right? So the simulation actually allows them, the virtual and constructive simulation allows them to train in an environment that's actually not possible to do in the live training context.
That's phenomenal. Mate, you mentioned, yeah, obviously you've got partners, we're talking the US, talking Europe, obviously you mentioned Singapore, across Australia. How does AVS compete on that global scale? Is there any key points that you think have allowed you, you know, smaller 20 plus person organization out of Newcastle to compete on that global scale?
Well, I'd say we don't necessarily compete on a global scale. We are pretty laser focused on the Australian Defence Force, and while we support our counterparts in other nations with things like our simulation equipment that we build, we are ultra focused on the needs of the ADF. And I think having that sort of laser focus and orienting our business to meet the needs of the ADF specifically is, you know, I think, you know, gave us advantages perhaps over companies that do operate more globally and need to sort of develop their solutions to meet a broad range of customer needs, where we can focus right down on exactly what our specific customers are after.
I like that. Personally, we've tried to build our organization from the same thing. There's a power in a niche. Mm-hmm. Technology Newcastle recruitment for us, just it's one vertical in one location. It sounds like, from what you've just said, there's a depth over width. It's just depth in focusing on the Australian defense and just being really specialist in that area.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think we really laser focused, and you know, in the 5 years since AVS's inception, we really focused on the Army specifically, and you know, by virtue of the fact that I myself was a former Army officer, you know, we had a couple of Army guys in the company, so that was where our focus is. We're broadening that somewhat to look at opportunities. We're in the air domain, and obviously being based in Newcastle, with Williamtown being up the road, you know, most people, when I explain what we do, they presume we're up at Williamtown working on JSF and things like that. And they're quite surprised when I say we're an Army-focused company, but we are sort of broadening our view to applying some of our solutions to air domain challenges.
Yeah. You mentioned that, obviously, Newcastle, we're talking the Hunter, Williamtown. Is Newcastle or the Hunter building a bit of a reputation for being specialists in and around this space?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a number of firms, both large and small. And again, you know, Williamtown is probably a key center of gravity. You know, the Air Force has, you know, obviously massive simulation requirements, which are only going to increase in the future. There's and you know, outside of Williamtown, there is a bunch of companies that have existed here for, you know, a decade or more that have meant that there's a local sort of center of gravity and center of expertise here. And one of the things that we've been looking at is formalizing that a little bit more and taking the companies that are resident in Newcastle and the Hunter region, and forming a simulation alliance, you know, and sort of promoting our capabilities collectively, you know, as opposed to sort of doing our own thing individually, to sort of shine that spotlight on the capabilities that are in Newcastle and the Hunter.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And you, again, it probably ties back into a common theme that you've mentioned in collaboration. You've worked with other Newcastle-based organizations, and there's some power in, you know, using your specialties and coming together.
Yeah, 100%. And to that point, there's some great, yeah, outside the niche simulation domain, the defense simulation domain, you know, we've got some great partnerships with, you know, local companies like Design Anthology, you know, yeah, you know, Josh. Yeah, again, they're a company with some real depth of expertise, and we've been able to leverage, you know, their knowledge and their ability to deliver, you know, and provide them with opportunities to get into the defense space, right? By sort of leveraging each company's capabilities.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Mm. Mate, this large contract, what does that mean for AVS? How does that change the landscape going forward for your organization?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's absolutely transformational for AVS as a business. The nature of the contract, being that it has a acquisition and a sustainment period, you know, means that AVS has got many years of work ahead of us. So you know, that kind of certainty is pretty rare in business these days, and to have, you know, to be looking at forecasting the delivery of a capability over 5, 10, 15 years, you know, our time horizon has certainly pushed out a lot further than it was, you know, previously. We obviously need to do a lot more hiring and different hiring, you know. Contracts of this nature require different skill sets and a more rounded company. You know, it's not just adding more software developers.
Yeah.
You know, for example.
Yeah. Well, it's I imagine the headcount will grow significantly, and as you do that, I imagine your role will change as part of that. What does it mean for jobs, these type of roles that you're hiring? It's quite a niche, and there's not a cast of thousands of people walking around with these skill sets. How does that play out for you guys in the future? Have you thought about, you know, building that capacity in your team and how that'll play out?
Yeah. And I think we have to take the long view on it, because, yeah, as you say, these skills are not commonly found. And if we are to sort of narrow in on the technical front, building a simulation engineer, a software developer, you know, takes a long time. And yeah, it's actually one of the things we identified when we responded to this request for proposal. We actually surveyed the Australian industry to try and work out how many people are there in the country, you know, that can deliver this capability. We look to LandSimCore 2.0. We look beyond that, and you know, we don't see how Australian industry can actually service the demand at the moment. So we've got to kind of take the long view and look at university graduates and look at that pipeline of people coming through. And it actually influenced our choice of the technical solution that we offered to the Commonwealth. One of our technologies that we deliver is based on the Unreal Engine, and a large part of why that solution was attractive to us was we calculated thousands of people in Australia who are familiar with the Unreal Engine and had worked on it in a professional capacity. So being able to tap a workforce of thousands is a very different proposition from trying to gauge the size of the workforce that are skilled in these specific niche simulation technology products, which, you know, are tens of people.
Yeah. I think that's a really smart business decision, but it's also something I think could be looked upon more broadly for other organizations as well. If you're looking to significantly increase the size of your team using technologies that are common and there's a, you know, a larger population of people with those skill sets, it's definitely, I guess, an easier path to growing the team because, as you said, trying to pick somebody or grow people with a particular really niche skill set is going to be a long game and you're going to have to invest quite a bit in, you know, growing them up yourself as opposed to trying to pick them up from elsewhere.
Yeah, and Landsim Core is much bigger than AVS. You know, as I mentioned, it will provide a common software, a set of common simulation applications which will be used for all future simulated.
Sorry, just on that point, you mentioned Landsim Core 2.0.
Yes.
For those that don't know, including myself to a degree, quick overview of what is Landsim Core 2.0.
Yeah, sure. So, look, in a nutshell, Land Simulation Core is the most fundamental modernization of simulation capability that the Australian Army has ever undertaken. So for those of you that are Googling, there is no Landsim Core 1.0.
Yeah.
There were some precursor projects to this, but what the fundamental challenge that Army identified was that they had a whole bunch of simulations and simulators in service that were very difficult to integrate, to connect and make work together. And Army looked to the future of these massive land acquisition projects like Land 907, which is the replacement of the Abrams tank, Land 400, Phase 2 and Phase 3, bringing in hundreds of combat reconnaissance vehicles and infantry fighting vehicles, and realized if we pursue a business as usual case, we're going to end up with a whole bunch of new simulators that don't interoperate, right? It really increases Army's cost of ownership to have, you know, one simulator using simulation product X and another simulation product using a simulation product Y. So Land Simulation Core 2.0 is divided into two tranches. And tranche one was to deliver a set of common simulation software that the Army could use internally for its own needs, but also provide to simulator vendors to use as a common baseline. Beautiful. Yeah. So that's Landsim Core tranche 2.0 tranche one. And then tranche two is a sort of enabling project that will create the ICT infrastructure to enable Army simulators to connect together.
So then there'll be other people able to build on top of this as well, and then simulators integrate your platform with their simulators.
Yeah, that's right. So, Army will mandate the use of the Land Simulation Core common simulation software for all training systems that have a collective training requirement. And what I mean by collective training is, you know, a simulator that needs to connect to another simulator. So, you want your tank simulators to connect to your infantry fighting vehicle simulators so that you can train together in a common virtual environment. So that's what Land Sim Core will seek to deliver. And over the next, many years, vendors will be building simulators based on this software.
This sounds like a phenomenal change. You're going from a lot of disparate, you know, systems to actually building a core base of which you can build upon going forward. So it seems like a bit of a bit of a line in the sand. We're going to build this core platform going forward. Everyone's going to be building upon this. We'll have that core system going forward. So it sounds remarkable, like a massive change.
Yeah, it's to be honest, fairly revolutionary modernization. Yeah, it really is. They are essentially going to, as they mandate the use of all of the common simulation software in the future. They are going to update some of their legacy simulators, so some of the ones that are already in service, some of which AVS deliver. So I joke that we're kind of packing our parachute on this project because ultimately AVS as a simulator builder will need to use this common simulation software. So we really had some skin in the game in terms of ensuring that we got the technical solution right. And I think, you know, our expertise in building simulators over the past half decade kind of gave us a good idea of, well, you know, we need to make sure we get this right because, you know, our ability to continue to deliver effective training systems, you know, is going to be dependent on us making this solution work.
I imagine that's a bit of an advantage in selecting AVS as the contract for this is the fact that you do have that experience building upon on top of it's not you're just building the engine, but you've actually built the engine and built upon that as well. So you've got experience in both sides of it, and you're not going to build something and then ship it over the fence and good luck with the team.
Yeah. We've got really nowhere left to point the finger at if we have any problems with our training systems in the future, because we're delivering the software solution. And to step back and discuss the implications of this on the Australian industry, you know, like it's not just going to be AVS. There is going to be, you know, a lot of companies out there that are going to want to offer training solutions to Army, right? So we wanted to make sure that the software solution we selected would be able to be used by companies large and small, you know, to meet Army's needs.
This is great. It seemed like a massive move forward for AVS and a massive milestone, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're very much the sort of the dog that's caught the car, and now, you know, we've got to deliver. Yeah, because Army's counting on us, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, there is many major land acquisition projects that have simulators to deliver that will be using the common simulation software.
Beautiful. And when you're talking about this software, and you mentioned Unreal as game engine as well, mm-hmm. you know, game development is a pretty sexy idea for a lot of younger people that are coming through, that have grown up playing games and want to look at game development as a career. I feel like there's a lot more people that are looking to get into that than there are jobs available for game developers. There aren't a heap of those in Australia at the moment. Mm-hmm. Do you look at the people with that game development interest as potential employees for ABS?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it, regardless of whether you have a technical role or, you know, you're in a training or, you know, whatever, we want people to have to come armed with knowledge, and that knowledge of gaming is very useful because a lot of it's transferable to the military simulation, you know, the military simulation domain. A lot of our younger engineers, you know, are gamers, and you know, we try when we can to play test the software, and you know, to take up the point about the use of the Unreal Engine, you know, that allowed us to engage with even game development companies and offer them opportunities to join the defense supply chain that, you know, they would have struggled with otherwise.
Yeah, it sounds like what you've done really because of that defense aspect that you do have and the relationships you do have there is you've opened up opportunities for other vendors or other organizations to come along on that ride and start to supply to that industry.
Yeah, you know, a good example is Ben Roach of Upsurge Studios. So they are a content development studio, and they work in the game industry. So they produce 3D assets. You know, I know Ben delivers content for Pavlov VR. So some, you know, and he's worked for some pretty well-known gaming titles. But yeah, all overseas. You know, they don't tend to get a lot of work from Australian studios because there just aren't that many Australian studios. So yeah, we approached Upsurge to do some modeling, some 3D modeling of some Army vehicles, and you know, they did a fantastic job. You know, really able to bring those you know, gaming industry skills to bear, right, and produce some really top-notch 3D models, right. And then we were able to, you know, do all the defense stuff, right, to take a beautiful 3D model that's in, you know, 3D Studio or Maya, and then configure it to run in the Mark simulation software, which is the predominant part of our technical solution for Land Sim Core. These are professional simulation tools, sort of world renowned tools. And then, yeah, we also have the Unreal Engine as a part of the solution, so we're able to, you know, convert them and getting them looking looking really good in both environments.
Sounds like it's not only a win for, you know, yourself and AVS, but some other partners along the way. So it sounds like it's a big win across the board.
Yeah. I mean, we can't do everything, right? You know, on Last time I was here, you know, I talked about my aspirations of keeping the company small. That's not going well.
I don't think you've succeeded.
Yeah, I kind of failed in that regard, and we are much bigger than I foresaw. But we also can't do everything, right? We want to look to the great capabilities that are out there in Australia. Like, I mean, Upsurge is a great example to bring those skills to bear in a really efficient way. Because, you know, when this contract, you know, when we finish doing all the models, you know, Upsurge is going to return to their, you know, their core business of game content development. They may pursue other defense opportunities, you know, which we're really excited for. But yeah, you know, whereas if AVS was going to do all this work in-house, I would need to hire a massive, you know, studio of artists, and then the question would be, well, what happens when we're finished? What happens with those people when we're finished? Because, you know, AVS is certainly not in the in the gaming content business, right?
No, I think, again, when you mentioned before about that niche and knowing what you do, being really laser focused, I think the words where you used, being laser focused and knowing what you do, doing that well, and then outsourcing or partnering with partners to build that complementary solution.
Yeah, it's you know, worked really well for us.
Yeah, cool. We've mentioned different suppliers you're integrating with. We've mentioned different integration partners that you'll be working with. The Australian Defence obviously works with suppliers across the board. It seems like this is a change in the way that the Australian Defence has gone around building training.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. Yeah, LANSIM Core 2.0 is a new paradigm in training system design and development, along with the common simulation software that AVS will be delivering. There are other elements like the generic simulation architecture, which defines a system architecture. So whereas in the past, if you're a simulator vendor, you have to design the architecture itself and then work out how that's going to integrate with other army simulators. With the GSIM-A, it gives you essentially a template architecture and a set of common simulation software that nests within that architecture, and then you simply have to focus on your platform-specific simulation elements rather than building the whole simulator from scratch.
Fantastic. Now, you've obviously gone from a smaller business where you were doing very, very hands-on role to now a 20-plus person team. Imagine this is going to continue to grow. How has your role changed, and how do you envisage your role continuing to change as the organization grows?
Yeah, obviously the business is larger than I originally envisioned, which is, I guess, a nice problem to have. And through that, I've had to find a way to obviously do a lot more delegation, and you know, I live by, or I use as a maxim, a phrase, and I can't recall who said it. Probably someone from my army days that said, only do what only you can do. So on a day-to-day basis, when there are, you know, 1,000 things to be done in the day, you know, I use that sort of maxim to say, well, am I the only person that can do this? And if the answer is no, then that's a good signal to do it. And then the subsequent question is, okay, who else can do it? And if the answer is nobody, then that's a hint for me to say, hey, you've got a gap in your organization here that may need to be filled.
Yeah, and you mentioned before, is obviously your team growing, and not just from a technical aspect, but I imagine they're the sort of gaps within your business that you'll continue to try to add in within the organization.
Yeah, that's right. We can no longer survive or prosper having an amateur financial person, an amateur legal, advisor, an amateur systems engineer, right? Because I am absolutely amateur of all those things, right? And as we grow, one of my challenges is to judiciously appoint the right experts that we need to bring those capabilities to bear, to bring in real experts that can help our business function and grow.
Yeah, really good. Mate, you mentioned delegation just before. Delegation, then obviously, you know, complementing your skill set with people that are specialists in what they do. I think that's a great advice for most people going through business growth or team growth in general.
Yep.
Mate, if you come down to your days, obviously manic at the moment with everything going on at the moment, is there any productivity tool that you use? Is it, are you using a calendar to manage your day, to do to-do lists? How do you operate?
Yeah, well, I guess one change that I've observed over the past sort of 6 months is the simple individual to-do list no longer cuts it. You know, the team use the classic productivity and work management tools like Jira. We've got G Suite, and actually we've just retired G Suite and moved to Microsoft and migrated from Slack to Teams. So we've got all those tools, but for myself, I would keep a to-do list, and the problem is now there are a lot more people than me that need to sort of manage my time and tasks. So I'm still looking for a good to-do capability that kind of supports more of a team function without, you know, taking the dive and looking at something like Jira.
Yeah, it's a funny one. I don't think there's one common answer across anyone I've interviewed to say this is the only way to do it. I feel like different people pull different parts together to make something work for them. And you're obviously going through a period of growth, change, flux, and you'll probably, you know, figure that out as you continue to grow.
Yeah. So happy to take suggestions from the audience if anybody knows of something that's a little bit more capable than Todoist, or, remember the milk, but not as full-throated as Jira. Let me know.
No, that'd be great. I'm sure there's plenty of people that have been through similar challenges themselves. So easiest way for people to reach out to you?
We've now got socials. You know, I guess that's one of the things you have to have now. So we've got LinkedIn. You know, we've got our website there. It's probably the easiest way to get through. We also have we are doing a number of conferences and public engagements. So there is the major simulation conferences. iTech, for example, is next week in London. So come and say hi. Otherwise, there's things like the Land Forces Conference, the Hunter Defense Conference, where you'll see us there.
Nice. And then you mentioned obviously the team growth. If somebody's interested in AVS and interested in potentially adding their skills to your organization, same way, through the website, through the socials?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we're always looking for people to join the team. Yeah, whether you're from a technical or a non-technical background, we really want to hire people that are enthusiastic about the type of thing that we do at AVS. So yeah, absolutely, reach out through the contact form on the website or through our socials. LinkedIn is probably the main one that we use.
Beautiful. I appreciate you coming on. From my perspective, hearing Newcastle success stories, you know, in the last couple of years, to see the growth that you've gone on and to win a contract as large as this one is, it's really pleasing to see from my perspective. I love seeing the success of Newcastle technology, talent and people. So congratulations, and hopefully we have you on episode 100 and something with even more growth.
Well, I think it's got to have a 2 and a 7 in it.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this episode of New in Tech People. To stay up to date with all our episodes, our show notes, and past episodes, please visit www.newintechpeople.com.au. Thank you.